Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
The day has arrived. The start of the 2022 college football regular season and week one all across the country. Last Saturday was the small appetizer of the week zero slate, but starting tonight, over the course of the next 5 days, every single day from Thursday until Labor Day Monday, there will be at least one college football game, including two ranked teams in action to start week number one on this Thursday. I am Ben Stevens, alongside the mastermind of the college football pigskin, Joe Lisi is here as well. Lisi guy, we have made it. Week number one of the college football season starts in just about 7 hours.
Oh, I'm feeling great. This is what it's all about. We saw a great game last year, if you remember, in Evanston between Michigan State and Northwestern. Northwestern was a 3.5-point favorite, and Kenneth Walker burst onto the scene with a 175 and 3 touchdowns, and Michigan State was a national power for much of the year last year. What do we get in West Lafayette with Penn State and Purdue? Purdue, the home dog, it's going to be a blackout. And the backyard brawl, baby, this is what it's all about. Pitt and West Virginia renewing the rivalry since 2010. This is what it's all about, Ben. I'm chomping at the bit for tonight's action.
I cannot wait. And, Lisi, let's start there with the backyard brawl. Because as we say often, college football is about many things. But it is always tied to history and tradition. And for the first time in more than a decade, the backyard brawl is back into our lives, Lisi. Pittsburgh and West Virginia, the 105th all-time meeting between these two schools. The first time they met, Joe, back in 1895. But they have not played since 2011 when Pitt and West Virginia were conference foes. It returns for the first time in more than 10 years. And Pittsburgh, who holds the edge, Lisi, at 61-40-3 all-time against the Mountaineers, favored to continue those winning ways tonight. 7.5 is the point spread in favor of Pitt. Do you think the Panthers can cover more than a touchdown?
I think they can, and it's due to the physicality of front seven. They held opposing offenses to 89 rushing yards per game last year, one of the top rushing defenses in all of college football. On the flip side, you had one of the worst rushing attacks in West Virginia, 7 of the 13 games under 100. I talked about it all offseason. They lost all 7 of those games by 12.6 points per game. I have no faith, absolutely no faith in JT Daniels. The only caveat, Ben, is the fact that Keaton Slovis, who hasn't even played a game in Pittsburgh, comes out and he gives West Virginia bulletin board material in terms of screw you, West Virginia. That, I don't need that, but I think Pitt is the better team. The offensive and defensive lines will shine through. I think the Panthers do cover the 7.5-point number.
I would think that it is going to be very close to that. Lisi, I don't know if I have a very strong feel on either side or total. I know what the trends say, though, at least based on last year. Pittsburgh 10-4 against the spread, one of the top 5 best cover percentages in all of college football. a season ago out of 130 FBS teams. But it's a very different Pittsburgh team. Keaton Slovis is a pretty good replacement, at least in thought and on paper, for a Heisman finalist in Kenny Pickett. But I think we are going to see them miss Mark Whipple in Pitt. Mark Whipple, of course, the offensive coordinator a season ago, now the OC in Lincoln, Nebraska. And the Huskers, of course, losing week zero to Northwestern in Dublin. However, Joe, I think if anything, if West Virginia has an opportunity to keep this game close, it comes from a really good defensive effort. And if that keeps this game close, that probably leans us to an under. Oftentimes, that is the correlated thought in football. If the underdog is going to cover, the under comes into play as well. That would be maybe my lean, but I can't say I have a strong feeling tonight between Pittsburgh and West Virginia. I do know, though, that, Joe, the Mountaineers need more out of Neil Brown, about to enter year number five in Morgantown, than we have seen, at least from a win-loss perspective so far.
Yeah, 18-19 overall, and at times has outcoached himself in ball games, allowed teams to come from behind, just like Virginia Tech a year ago. I'll say this, the team that wins third down tonight, in terms of both of these quarterbacks, most likely will win this matchup. Pitt was very effective with Kenny Pickett. That offense was well within a rhythm last year, over 300 passing yards per game. The rushing attack took more of a backseat until they had leads in ball games. If Narduzzi reverts back to where he was about 3 years ago, where they were more of a run-heavy offense and the passing game only worked off of play action, West Virginia is going to be in this ballgame, but I just don't think it. Frank Cignetti, a pretty good game caller, and again, we go to the quarterbacks. It's going to come down to Slovis and JT Daniels. More confidence in Slovis. I think he could challenge West Virginia over the top, and still inexperience in that secondary for the Mountaineers.
All right, here's the rundown for today's Football Full Circle, being week number one of the college football campaign. A full preview of all the Thursday night tilts that we have in store this evening. But up next, we'll go to the NFL, some laundry items around the league, some news and notes from across the National Football League before we dive back into college football for the rest of the show after that. Come back and join us here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on Football Full Circle. It is an exciting day here on Sports Grid Radio. Week number one of the college football season officially begins tonight, Joe. Tons of games that we will preview throughout the next 45 minutes or so here on FFC. But let's quickly turn our attention to the NFL for at least a little bit, Joe. News and notes around the National Football League yesterday, because today now marks the 1 week out date from the start of the 2022 NFL regular season. 1 week from tonight in Los Angeles at the site of last year's Super Bowl, with the Super Bowl champs, the Los Angeles Rams, hosting this year's preseason Super Bowl favorites in the Buffalo Bills. So all of these moves happening now, Joe, around the National Football League, following cut day on Tuesday, trying to solidify those rosters as you get ready for the regular season. And the Eagles have been very active on the transactional wire through trade, acquiring Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on Tuesday afternoon from New Orleans, a versatile defensive back. And then yesterday, shipping out 2020 first-round draft pick, the wide receiver Jalen Reagor, who never quite figured it out within the Eagles system. He is now in Minnesota, reuniting, perhaps, with Justin Jefferson, who the Eagles selected Jalen Reagor before Justin Jefferson, one pick before Jefferson in the 2020 NFL draft. Now they are teammates in Minnesota. Joe, what did you make of this move for Philly yesterday?
Well, clear in the air. They originally got Greg Ward Jr., released him as well earlier in the week. They're starting to get rid of, I want to say, the old mediocre wide receiver talent. Greg Ward was a high quarterback at Houston and then made the switch, right? Jalen Reagor, a couple of years ago, in my opinion, did not deserve to be selected 13th overall ahead of Justin Jefferson. Didn't do it. I understand was an explosive playmaker for TCU, but a against mediocre Big 12 defenses. I mean, he stood out, was the best player on that team, but he did not deserve to be taken that high. If Justin Jefferson was a legitimate playmaker, did it against the best competition in the SEC, became a national champion, and proved his worth with a 1,300-yard first-year performance. So it's a new landscape for Jalen Reagor. How do they utilize him? They also have Smith Marsette there. Yeah, he can maybe be used in certain packages, fly sweeps, but at the end of the day, he's got to work on the drops. That was the biggest thing in terms of Philadelphia. He could not catch the football. Forget the speed. Forget the route running. Let's go back to the basics. Get behind a jugs gun and catch some footballs. If he can do that, maybe he can make the team and obviously stay on the football field.
Lisi, it's fascinating, right? A clip was re-aired yesterday, resurfaced, of the Minnesota Vikings draft room in 2020 with GM Rick Spielman and head coach at the time, Mike Zimmer, all kind of being shocked, almost laughing at the Eagles for taking Jalen Reagor ahead of Justin Jefferson. They could not believe that the wide receiver out of LSU had fell into their lap. But you look at these guys now, and you look at where their career trajectories are going. Justin Jefferson has said himself, it's not fair to compare Jalen Reagor to him. It's not great. It doesn't mean much at this stage. However, J-Jet is seen to be one of the best wide receivers already, Joe, in the National Football League, about to enter only his third year in the league. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, Justin Jefferson is a co-favorite alongside Triple Crown Cooper Cup to lead the National Football League in receiving yards in 2022. Both of those guys, Joe, at 9-1 in this market. Cooper Kupp last year just shy of 2K throughout the regular season, but led the league in why I call him Triple Crown Cooper in receiving yards, receiving touchdowns, and overall receptions. But Justin Jefferson, Joe, is seen to be on that level. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I think he'll prove that within a couple of years. You know, if we're looking at both of those players, I think Justin Jefferson is going to be up there, top two or three in terms of the NFL. I really believe in his ability. He catches the football. He's a gamer. And at the end of the day, let's look at it. You know, Mike Zimmer was not an offensive-minded head coach. Now with O'Connell at the helm, maybe Kirk Cousins can turn the corner and take the next step in his progression. And at the end of the day, they have to be more aggressive, in my opinion, to challenge defenses over the top. Throw more, to run more. That's what ultimately, you know, Mike Zimmer wanted to do, but he couldn't do it because he was so set in his ways that he would pound the rock with Dalvin Cook and Madison on almost every occasion, as right, opposed to utilizing those playmakers. So hopefully with O'Connell, you have a little more ingenuity. You utilize your best playmakers, and that's the quarterback. You're paying him $86 million. He better be able to challenge defenses over the right top. I mean, it's ridiculous. So hopefully that that trajectory happens, right, and Minnesota, I still think, I'll say this, best team I think in the division. I took them at 3-1, and I think they're a 10-win football team, hands down, with O'Connell at the helm, first-year head coach.
The odds, Joe, like you have mentioned, and you've been on this train for quite some time now, the past few months of this offseason, those numbers have been very optimistic in backing Minnesota. Their odds to win the division, shorter and shorter, now plus 240. Green Bay is still an odds-on favorite, and that is the historical perspective for the Packers, who have won the NFC North 8 of the last 11 years, including in 3 straight seasons. But the Vikings' win total earlier was 8.5. It's now at 9 in a hook, over and under evenly juiced at minus 110. And their odds to make the postseason, at least, have gone into minus money. Minus 110, not substantial necessarily, but a team that is now expected in the NFC to certainly compete for one of those wild card spots, if not win the division and be a factor in that NFC playoff picture. Lisi, I do think it's fascinating when you look at Justin Jefferson in the conversation of who's the best wide receiver in the NFL. Cooper Kupp is certainly there. Davante Adams on a new team is certainly there. DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for the first 6 games, but at his best, he is certainly there as well. Jamar Chase, the offensive rookie of the year from a season ago, is there in Cincinnati, at least as the odds would indicate. And Justin Jefferson's receiving yards total, Joe, for the season is at 1,350.5. It's a number he's gone over in each of his first 2 years in the NFL, even well over it in his rookie campaign, going for more than 1,400 receiving yards. That is how good Justin Jefferson has been. That is the immediate impact he has made for this Vikings team. And I'll give you you one more area of value on the Minnesota Vikings, if you allow, Joe. It's in the AP NFL Coach of the Year Award market. Kevin O'Connell tied for the third best price at 16-1 alongside Doug Peterson and Dan Campbell and Nathaniel Hackett. And he's behind Brandon Staley, who's a co-favorite again, and Brian Daboll of the New York Giants. But, Joe, we've said this often. To win this award, to truly be in consideration, your team needs to make the playoffs. Even if you're a young head coach in your first year as the head man of whatever NFL organization, I do believe the Vikings are going to be an NFC playoff team, which leads me to that Kevin O'Connell price at 16-1 for some value, because if the Vikings win 10 or 11 games, certainly if they win the division, Joe, he's going to be right there in the running.
Yeah, he's going to get the most out of that talent. That's what you wanted Zimmer to do, but he couldn't do it. You know, so O'Connell gives you the best shot, and at 16-1, it's basically just coming into the foundation. The foundation is there at every level. Two big play wide receivers, an above average quarterback in terms of the stats, right? You have two of the top running backs, 1-2. It's all there. As long as the offensive line protects Kirk Cousins, you have to think that O'Connell will devise an out game plan a majority of the opponents, and then if they knock off Green Bay week number one, why not? They're hitting the ground running. They go toe-to-toe with Green Bay each and every year, at least split one game. If they get that week one matchup under their belt, they're there. I have them. 11-12 wins is not out of the realm of possibility, Ben.
Certainly not. 9.5 again is that win total. Even juice on both sides. The over at minus 110. The under the same exact number at minus 110 as well. All right. That was a pretty good NFL conversation, I thought. Russell Wilson signs a huge contract extension with the Broncos, by the way. But it's about college football today on FFC. We preview all of Thursday night up next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue to preview the week one slate of college football. It starts tonight, the 2022 regular season, all across the nation, really and truly underway this evening, Joe. Two ranked teams in action, the first ranked teams we will see all year long in college football. We talked about the backyard brawl between Pittsburgh and West Virginia. The Panthers ranked 17th in the country on the heels of an ACC championship last year, and Pitt a 7.5-point favorite hosting West Virginia tonight, the 105th all-time meeting between those two bitter rivals. But elsewhere, Lisi, another ranked team into the fold this Thursday evening. Oklahoma State, number 12 in all the land, starting off their season at home as more than a 3-touchdown favorite against Central Michigan. The Pokes are laying 21.5 at home, Joe. Can the Chippewas keep it close?
Yeah, they can. They're going to have to run the football with Lou Nichols and Richardson, their quarterback. But that goes right into the strength of Oklahoma State's front seven. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it the whole game for four quarters. If so, they're going to cover this number. And potentially, maybe they'll be in striking distance for the upset. But I think this is the most complete team in the Big 12. Their third down defense was one of the tops in the country. Derek Mason comes over. They have seven starters coming back. Tracy, their big play defensive end. I think they're going to crash down on Lou Nichols in that rushing the game. I just think that from an offense and defensive line perspective, I think Oklahoma State's going to dominate here. And Spencer Sanders, 232.5 tonight in terms of his passing total. Don't be shocked if he goes through that. If they utilize play action early to loosen up the running game, he could have a big night. So I'm going over Spencer Sanders. I'm taking Oklahoma State laying the big number tonight in Stillwater.
Lisi, we have seen tons of movement on Lou Nichols III and his rushing yards prop for tonight. Here's a couple of things that go into this conversation. Lou Nichols III led all of college football at the FBS level last year in terms of rushing yards, Joe, averaging more than 140 yards per game on the ground. And when you can put that in to the idea that Oklahoma State a season ago was the third best rushing defense in the country, it's an idea of good versus good. However, Joe, Lou Nichols III rushing yards prop last night was at 80.5. This morning, earlier, it was 97 in a hook. Now it is back down by 7 yards all the way to 90.5. We have seen this fluctuate so many times and so drastically already, Joe. It will be interesting to see what success CMU can have if they focus on the ground game with Lou Nichols III.
Well, think about this. If you're CMU and you get the football, you want to sustain drives, you want to get into an uglier, methodical type of game, just the way they did in the Sun Bowl against Delora and Washington State, right? They ran the football. It was ugly. It didn't have a lot of flow, and they were able to pull that victory out in terms of on the road in El Paso. But the difference is now you're going into a true road environment. You're going up against one of the best offense and defensive lines, not just in the conference, but potentially in all of FBS. We're talking top 15 offense and defensive line. So what happens? Oklahoma State has a significant speed advantage on the perimeter. Presley, those wide receivers, can challenge CMU over the top. That's why I think they take a different approach. They don't go running the football right into CMU. I think they challenge them, try to get them out of their game plan, jump up early, maybe potentially 10-0, 13-0, and then all of a sudden CMU becomes one-dimensional, and then Lou Nichols isn't a factor in the ball game. If you allow them to dictate tempo, they're going to be in this matchup. I think they take the opposite approach. I think Oklahoma State starts fast, and it's due to the passing attack with Spencer Sanders at the helm.
It's a great look for the Cowboys this year, Joe, who we know just inches away from a Big 12 title last year and a potential spot in the college football playoff. That defense last year, a top 10 unit in pretty much every single significant statistical category last year. A top 10 scoring defense, a top 5 total defense. And Joe, if we're focusing on defense, a minute here to shout out Minnesota. The Golden Gophers return a lot defensively. They lose Boye Mafe, but a lot of that defensive roster is back under DC, Joe Rossi, and of course the head coach in PJ Fleck. Last year, Minnesota, the second best total defense in the country, even ahead of Georgia. Minnesota was the fifth best scoring defense, only allowing just a tick over 17 points per game. The sixth best passing defense, the seventh best rushing defense in all of college football. And tonight, Joe, Minnesota also starts off their season at home as a big favorite against New Mexico State. We saw the Aggies in action week zero, taking on Nevada. New Mexico State only scored 12 points in that game, Joe. Their team total tonight is 9.5. I lean the under. I think Minnesota's defense is going to be one of the best in the country and in the Big Ten Conference once again. I think we see that on full display tonight in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I went back and forth whether I was going to lay the big wood with P.J. Fleck and the crew. Typically, don't cover these big spreads. Lost to Bowling Green outright. They've struggled in recent years with teams like Buffalo and MAC opponents. But they're one of the best offensive defensive lines, again, in the Big Ten this year, at least in the Big Ten West. Mo Ibrahim does come back. You got Tanner Morgan. Now, I think that I'm with you in terms of the total. I think when you look at just this offense as a whole, New Mexico State, one-dimensional. They struggled in the second half against Nevada. Nevada moving the football, third down defense was terrible in the second half, and they couldn't convert from an offensive perspective. That goes right into the strength of Minnesota. You mentioned it, 17 points a game allowed. Ben, they only gave up 181 passing yards to opposing quarterbacks. Frawls was a redshirt freshman. He struggled against Nevada last week. He's going to have major difficulty on the road. I lean to the under here. I think Minnesota is the side in terms of laying the big number. I might take it from an in-game perspective, but I like the under more because of the defense and secondary of the Golden Gophers in this matchup.
Yeah, I really like what Minnesota returns, and you could make that same argument offensively. Of course, Tanner Morgan is back. I literally think he might be 26 years old. Muhammad Ibrahim is healthy. They lose some talent on the offensive line, but they bring back a lot as well. And we said it yesterday, Joe. 68.2% of the plays last year, Minnesota ran the football. Only the service academies in Army, Navy, and Air Force ran the ball more, and they run the triple option offense. So Minnesota laying 36.5 at home against New Mexico State. That total for the game overall is 52 in a hook. Now we go from one Big Ten team, Joe, to another. It will be one of the marquee matchups tonight, Penn State and Purdue. in West Lafayette. The Nittany Lions, a 3.5-point home favorite. The total standing at 53.5. Joe, Purdue has a lot of optimism backing them entering this season, mainly because of what they return at quarterback in Aiden O'Connell. It's a 3.5-point spread only. It is one of the shortest of this evening, might even be the shortest from the games that we see from a marquee perspective. How competitive do you expect this ball game to be between the Nittany Lions and the Boilermakers?
It might be competitive for a half, but I think the physicality of Penn State shines through in the second half and they pull away. I think they win by double digits. I really do feel that way in terms of I think they're the more complete team. I think they do have the more complete quarterback, even though Aiden O'Connell is lights out. His passing total tonight, I think, is 302. But I think Clifford in his, like, what, seventh year now in Happy Valley? I mean, he's the experienced guy. If he didn't get hurt last year, I think they would have been there. But it's year two with your They get the benefit of those two freshman running backs, Allen and Singleton. They're going to be utilized in the short to intermediate passing game. They get Tinsley, one of the top receivers in Conference USA, coming over from Western Kentucky, 1,400 receiving yards, 8 touchdowns, coupled with Parker Washington. It comes down to the front seven. I think Manny Diaz will put up blitz packages. They get to O'Connell early and often, and I don't know if Purdue can run the football on that front seven. I know they were suspect last year, Penn State. I don't think they are in this matchup. I think the offensive line for Purdue is the concern. I'm going Penn State, and don't be shocked if they win this ball game. I mean convincingly, like 45-24, one of those type of wins on the road because of the physicality of the rushing attack and the offensive line, Ben.
Joe, it's how I lean as well. And we know what Purdue is going to try to do. They throw the football. It doesn't matter if it's Aiden O'Connell, but having him as your quarterback is certainly the upper hand for Jeff Braun. But they love to throw the football, and they are going to throw the football in a big way this evening. We can see that, Joe, in Aiden O'Connell's passing yards prop tonight. It's 305.5 at last check. Let's update that number to make sure. It's still 304.5, excuse me. But there's an alternate passing yards prop where you think Aiden O'Connell is going to throw for 325. That's plus 130. Joe, that is the expectation for Aiden O'Connell and this Purdue offense all year. And they lose David Bell. Brock Thompson was huge in the Music City Bowl for the Boilermakers. Payne Durham, the tight end, is reliable for Aiden O'Connell. But we're talking about a Penn State defense, Joe. We just highlighted how good Minnesota was a season ago, just allowing 17.3 points per game. It's almost the exact same number that Penn State gave up. And Penn State was a big bend-don't-break defense a season ago. You could stack up some yardage, but they were not going to let you convert into scoring opportunities. And from a passing defense perspective, where a lot of that returning talent is defensively under Manny Diaz, they were the 15th best passing defense a season ago, giving up less than 200 yards per game. No Joey Porter Jr. Know that name because he is the son of Joey Porter, but he's also a really, really good defensive back as well. I'm fired up by this Penn State team, Joe. I think they can make some noise this year in the Big Ten Conference. And it starts tonight in a Big Ten opener against Purdue. Again, the Nittany Lions, a 3.5-point road favorite. Plenty more from around the Thursday night slate of college football up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So many games tonight on this Thursday to start off week one of the college football season, Joe. It's a wonderful Thursday across the slate. We'll continue breaking down games here. Look at games that we have up on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, and on Monday, because tonight begins a 5 consecutive day stretch, Lisey, of college football each and every single day across your Labor Day long holiday weekend. It is a beautiful thing to say. It is a beautiful thing to picture. It will be a beautiful thing to watch. All right, Lisey, a couple of the games that we haven't really touched on yet for tonight. Tennessee and Ball State. As of right now, the Volunteers, a very heavy favorite in this game at home on Rocky Top. 35.5 is what the Vols are laying against Ball State. And as I speak, Joe, that line clicked up by 1 point. It's 36.5 now in favor of Tennessee with an over-under that currently sits at 60. 6.5. My focus is on those numbers for the total and for the Tennessee team total, because Lisey, Tennessee had the highest over percentage in all of college football that last year, 10-3 to the over, greater than 76%. And the Vols return a lot of that offense for 2022.
Yeah, they do. I mean, you know, Tennessee is a team that a lot of people are expecting to at least maybe potentially challenge Georgia this year with Hendon Hooker. And Hendon Hooker, 60-1, Ben. 31 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. The amount of plays that they run in a given time frame, a minute, minute and a half, is unlike any team in college football. That's why they have the ability to wear down bigger, more physical defenses in the SEC, and they should surpass their 7.5 win total this year. Whether they could challenge Georgia later in the year in Athens, that remains to be seen. They're going to need a better effort on the defensive side of the ball. We saw Purdue rip them for 45-plus in that bowl loss last year. That needs to change for them to elevate to the next level. And in this ball game, here it is. They have Pitt on deck. Pitt went toe-to-toe with them, beat them by 7. That was when Joe Milton started in Neyland Stadium last year. He got hurt and then gave way to Hendon Hooker. They won by 7. That was a high-scoring game. They need to be prepared. That offense needs to be in a rhythm early in that matchup against Ball State tonight, but more importantly, week number 2. So I think they try to jump up early. I think they might rest some starters in the second half, but Ball State is an offense that can run the football. I'm not expecting them to win, but I think they could sustain enough drives to keep it within the 36-point number. They don't have a lethal quarterback play, but it's average. That's good enough for me. I'm taking Ball State with 5 touchdowns in the Neyland Stadium tonight.
Listen, I think if you're looking for overs on Tennessee, and I'm going to constantly be looking for overs early and often on the Volunteers offense this season, I think it has to come in the first half. I think Joe is completely right. Tennessee's team total is 51.5. 51.5. I don't care how good your offense is, to expect that right out of the gates, even against Ball State, for all 60 minutes to get us to 52 points, that's a very, very lofty number. The 66 in a hook for the game also feels a little bit large. If I was going to look for a total and I wanted some action, Joe, on Tennessee tonight from that scoring perspective, I would have to look at the first half over under. It is at 37 in a hook. I believe Tennessee can score at least 28 points in the opening 2 quarters. If I think they can get there and Ball State is going to add a touchdown, we're getting very close to that number. And Tennessee's defense was not good last year. I don't think Tennessee is going to stop anybody this year, and that could include Ball State. I just don't think it's really going to matter for how Tennessee wants to play football games. Tennessee last year, Joe, nearly averaged 38 points per game. They were the 7th best offense in all of college football from that scoring perspective. They nearly put up 480 yards per game in total. Again, the 7th best offense in college football from that perspective. Josh Heupel wants to score. Hendon Hooker is going to score. They are going to run a ton of plays, and they are going to add it up. I think the defense is going to struggle, but that would allow us to push to the over. So I think the look there is, from a Tennessee offensive perspective, it's got to be that 37.5 in the first half, Joe.
Yeah, that's a good play. And keep in mind, too, does Hendon Hooker utilize the run game with his legs in this ball game with the week 2 matchup? Does he sacrifice his body as much as he would in this ball game that maybe he wouldn't in the middle part of the season? That's always a concern for me. 51.5 is his rushing total. I might lean to the under there, but you're right about the first half total. Maybe they build a halftime lead and say, you know what? Let's just run it in the second half. Let's shorten the game, and let's just get out of here healthy with the win over a MAC opponent. That could be. I mean, 37.5, that's not bad at all, Ben. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of how this game could play out. You know, the only thing that would stop me is if Ball State does get the ball to start the game. They go on a 6 or 7 minute drive, kick a field goal or punt. Now you're in an ugly ball game. But the odds of that happening right here in week 1, slim to none. So I could potentially see that for Tennessee in this ball game.
Right. I mean, there's always the fear, Joe, even with high-powered offenses, that the first game of the year, the first time these guys are out there, they've been in fall camp, they've been practicing, they've been rehearsing, they've been getting all of this game script ready to go and how that offensive scheme is going to look, but they don't have the preseason like NFL teams do. They don't get to get through some of that rust early on. It's going to happen, you would think, early on against Ball State, unless they just come out and they prove to be that great offense that we expect them to be this year. Let's keep it in the SEC, Lisey. Missouri hosting La Tech tonight. That would be the Tigers out of Columbia at home hosting Louisiana Tech. Now, as we look at that spread, it's another large one in favor of Mizzou. Nearly three touchdowns, laying 20.5 at home. Joe, how do you make sense of that Missouri-Louisiana Tech game right now?
Yeah, well, for me, I am not sold on Missouri. They lose Tyler Beatty. They have Brady Cook there that took over in the bowl, lost to Army. Yep. This defense is still bad. I mean, they fired Franklin in the middle part of the season, their defensive line coach. And on the flip side with Sonny Cumbie taking over for Skip Holtz, I think he's a very good head coach. He proved that in Lubbock last year and kept that team together. You want to give me 20.5 points? I know it's an SEC opponent, and I don't care if La Tech has lost a ton of talent. I'm taking the points. You know what? I might even take them on the money line. I think Sonny Cumbie is that much better of a coach than Elijah Drinkwitz in year number two or three.
Missouri was not very good a season ago. They were 4-9 against the spread, not covering by an average margin of 5 points per game. Only one team was worse than them in the SEC from an ATS perspective. That was Florida, and Florida was booked as a favorite much more than Missouri was. When you think about Missouri last year, Joe, let me do this quick math here. As an underdog, if they were 4-9 against the spread overall, as a dog, 3-4 ATS. So not very good by any means, and stopping the ground game, oh, that was a very tough task for the Missouri Tigers last season. Much better through the air in terms of their passing defense, but on the ground, teams ran all over the Tigers. It's 21 points is what you're asking that cover to be when it's three touchdowns. There should be a lot more talent on Missouri's side. I'm just not entirely sure if I feel comfortable laying that number with the Tigers right now, so I am going to stay away and see what Missouri has in store. I might be using this game, Joe, more so to scout what the Tigers have in Columbia to see how that Vandy game is going to be as it affects our win total. Joe, quickly here, we've got some thoughts about Northern Illinois, Eastern Illinois, UAB, Alabama, A&M, some of the smaller games that we see here. UAB has been a very consistent program in the last little bit of time since they brought back football in Birmingham. That being said, Bill Clark, the leader of that team, the head coach, is no longer there. UAB, one of the better cover teams in the country a season ago, laying nearly 40 points tonight, Joe, against Alabama A&M. What does the departure of Bill Clark do for this Blazers team?
Well, it's huge in terms of long term, right? In the sense of the conference, they're still the front runners, which I can't believe in terms of that. They're a physical team. They want to run the football, but laying 39.5, 40 points in this ball game against Alabama A&M, I'm going to lay it with them because they should be able to run at will on that front seven. They have a size advantage in terms of pounds and just size on the offensive line. They have their top two starting running backs coming back. They're going to pound the rock. And for me right now, I think I would lay it. 40.5 points to Alabama A&M. I mean, I'm not going to bet this game, but if you're forcing me to take a side, I think they should steamroll them in this matchup. I have no confidence in Alabama A&M stopping the rushing attack of the Blazers. But long term, if we're looking at UAB as a long term play, I think that's where Bill Clark's departure will hurt this team. I like some other teams in the conference that we talked about.
We'll see Wake Forest on display tonight in their first game without Sam Hartman. Of course, Sam Hartman a few weeks ago ruled out indefinitely due to a non-football-related medical condition. Head coach there in Winston-Salem in Wake Forest has said, Dave Clawson, that Sam Hartman probably is not out for the entirety of the year, but they'll update what his status is, and they hope that he can come back for 2022. We hope that he is healthy enough to do just that. The Demon Deacs tonight, a 31.5 point favorite against VMI. Lisey, as you're looking across the board right now on all the action that we have here on this Thursday night to start off week one of the college football regular season, what's your best bet?
Best bet is Penn State. I laid it already. I'm laying the wood with Penn State. I just think they win by double digits. I know it's a bad environment in terms of Purdue. I don't care. I'm going to go down with Penn State because I think they're the superior team. They have playmakers at every level. I like Manny Diaz as the DC, and I think they have a secondary advantage going up against Aiden O'Connell. Again, it comes down to the interior lines right now, and that's where Penn State, in my opinion, has a significant advantage over Purdue. But that's why they play play the games. We'll see how this plays out tonight. I might readjust in game, but I think they should win this ball game by anywhere from 10 to 14 points.
I mean, you can look for those alt spreads. What'd you get it at, Lisey? What did you get that number at?
Plus 180 at minus 9.5 tonight.
Listen, that's a double-digit victory. I don't think it's outlandish. Again, I understand what this Penn State team has been the last 2 years. I know how bad 2020 was, but 2020 was a terrible year in many areas of life for a lot of people, including on the football field across the country in CFB. Penn State started the year 0-5 and then rattled off 4 straight wins. There seemed to be optimism once again in Happy Valley in 2021. They beat Wisconsin on the road in Camp Randall, pulling off the upset, and then the rest of Big Ten play, Joe, was not great. 4-5 in the conference last year for the second straight year, but all 5 losses by single digits. All 5 losses with an average margin of defeat of just 4.2 points per game. Sean Clifford has to be better. Their ground game has to be better. They were a bottom 25 unit in the country a season ago, but I think it is going to be better. I think Kevon Lee is going to be that guy. I believe Katron Allen, the young stud, can provide that spark as well. And I think Sean Clifford, for the first time in his college career, Joe, will have the same offensive coordinator year over year. Mike Yurcich is still there. They get to work together to figure out what needs to happen for this Nittany Lions offense. I expect a bounce back season for the Penn State Nittany Lions. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Penn State received votes in the preseason AP poll. I don't believe they'll just be receiving votes at the end of this year. I think the Nittany Lions will be a top 10 team. That is my bold claim for the Big Ten in 2022. We come back to finish out the show on Football Full Circle up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back for just a few more minutes live right here on Football Full Circle on the Sports Grid Radio Network. I am Ben Stevens. He is Joe Lisi, and we are here. We have arrived. Week one of the college football season. Joe, so many great games tonight. Our first 3 ranked teams in action. Do not let me forget Wake Forest, who checks in at number 22 in the country. We have 17th ranked Pitt hosting West Virginia in the return of the backyard ball. 12th ranked Oklahoma State hosting Central Michigan, and number 22 Wake Forest hosting VMI. Lisa, you have given your best bet for today. Penn State, maybe if not covering just 3.5, more than that, but at least covering that number as the road favorites in West Lafayette. My best bet, another Big Ten team in action. Minnesota against New Mexico State. I think that Golden Gophers defense is for real. I think the Golden Gophers defense will be back atop the Big Ten like it was a season ago, and I think the Golden Gophers defense is going to be one of the best in the entire country. They hold New Mexico State to under 9.5 points for that team total for the Aggies. Lisi, we have made it. 5 straight days of college football. I cannot believe we are here, but I am so thrilled to be in this spot.
Yeah, and this is where we readjust, right? Now, teams will come out as we expect, or they come out flat or not as we expected, and then we have to reassess our long-term future bets and more importantly, the conference bets as the season progresses. But it's good to be back. This is what it's all about. Great games tonight. I'm going to be up until about 3 o'clock this morning watching these games play out, Ben, and there's nothing better. College football takes front and center stage this coming Saturday and weekend.
And then Joe Lisi will join me on the morning after tomorrow at 9:25 a.m. Eastern time to recap the first Thursday that we saw in college football and look forward to the rest of the weekend. And then we'll do it together, Joe, in person alongside Kevin Walsh as well on Saturday morning on College Football Today starting at 9 a.m. Eastern time. He's Joe Lisi, the mastermind of the college football pigskin. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for listening to Football Full Circle. The money line is up next.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.